What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to part two of the Steelers preview. I'm Jeff Hartman, co-editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Joining me as always, the podcast producer, Brian Anthony Davis, and the other co-editor, Dave Schofield. And we're going to get things started off. Isaac Aguilera gave us $10. We appreciate that. He said, every Steelers fan, myself included, wants to believe Ben is still the same guy he was 5 years ago. But the truth is, he's not. And I hope I'm wrong. Look, even everyone says that if there's one guy that, you know, is beaten back Father Time, it's old Tom Brady down in Tampa. But even Tom Brady's not the same quarterback he was 5 years ago. And he's in his 40s. Not many people even play that long into their 40s. But no, Ben is not the same quarterback he was 5 years ago. And this is why last season, when Kevin Colbert, leading up to the scouting combine, which didn't happen, he was basically saying, I think Ben could be better. And I'm like, really? I get what you're saying, that, you know, a year off and he got to some time to watch the game more than play it. Like, I understood what he was saying, but come on, he's coming off of a season ending elbow surgery and you think he could come back and be better? Yeah, that's a little much for me. So anything about that, Brian, you want to comment on?
You know, I mean, you brought up old man Tom Brady. You brought up him. And, you know, Ben actually won more games in the regular season than Tom Brady did last year. Now, not all of last year because of the all those wins in the postseason.
Oh, but when it matters.
Yeah, absolutely the ones that matter. But, you know, I mean, you know, Ben can – I mean, it's just what our expectations of Ben's going to be. And you, if you're looking for 16-0, which a lot of us, we got to a point where we started looking for 16-0, and we knew that wasn't going to happen, but we started to get that expectation in our heads. And then when he fell short of it, then we poked a lot of holes in it. I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing tonight. But when you look at the whole thing, and it just goes back to everything we've been talking about, he could be very good for the Steelers and be what they need.
Okay, Dave, thoughts?
Look at what they surrounded him with down there.
Oh.
In Tampa.
Loaded.
I mean, you spend a high draft pick on a tackle who ends up being phenomenal and really changing their entire offensive line. Because remember, going into the season, they're like, oh, Brady might be getting killed down there behind that line. They shored up that line. They got everybody that they could for him. They had plenty of people to throw to. They had people that could run the ball. You do also realize that they were, during the regular season, they were the 28th best rushing team in the NFL, that team down there. So you're saying he's not even the same player he was 5 years ago. I know I should get back to the original question, but it's not just all about the player. It's what they have around them. That's like, I was going back answering a question for StatGeek, not the one that I aired today, but the one the week before, about finding a magic number of all these things that teams that make the Super Bowl, you know, kind of do these things. It was almost all offensive numbers. But then there was one team in there that broke the mold. And the team that went to the Super Bowl, won it and broke the mold, was that Denver Broncos team with Peyton Manning. It did not make sense for them to be there, but they put so much of a team around a quarterback that was older and had the smarts and the experience to do what they need to do. Ben's not the same player, but it doesn't mean that he can't do things based on his experience that'll be very beneficial.
Okay, Gamey with Geo gives us $5. He said, I see bringing Ben back as making our team worse in 2022. We'll have less money and a new quarterback who hasn't started. That's a viable, you know, excuse, whatever you want to call it. I think that scenario could be factual, that him coming back could hurt the team, at least in the short term. But we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. All right. You already just a little, I don't want to say role play, because we're not, I'm not going there with you guys. Trust me.
I'm the cat boy.
I knew Brian was going to do that. I'm like, oh, Brian's going to, you know, bust out his D&D stuff.
Oh, boy. All right. So you are Kevin Colbert, and you have to consider Mike Tomlin's a part of this, and so is Art Rooney. But I'm going to throw out, so today, I'm sorry, yes, Thursday, a Mel Kiper Jr. put out a mock draft. And whatever, I look at who he takes has gone to the Steelers. It was the same one that had Dave had mocked on Monday in his mock draft Monday article, which is Landon Dickerson, the center from Alabama. And of course, the fan base went lit up the comments because he's injury prone and he'd probably be there in the second round. And it definitely reeked of Kiper, as in typical Kiper fashion, not doing best player available, but looking at a specific position of need and saying he's the top guy on my board. That's who they're taking. So don't put too much stock into that. Well, what was interesting about this mock draft is he included trades. And with these trades, the Atlanta Falcons trading with the Jets, the San Francisco 49ers trading with the Detroit Lions, and the New England Patriots trading with the Denver Broncos, all to go up into the top 10. And he had a whopping 5 quarterbacks selected in the top 10. 5. Now, I thought that was crazy. And the reason why I thought it was crazy is it was that Mac Jones went to the Carolina Panthers at, I think, 8 or something like that. And Mac Jones seems to be that guy that his stock is starting to really skyrocket. He played well in the Senior Bowl. He obviously won a national title. I felt like during the college football regular season, they were talking about him being a late 1 or a 2, like a second round pick, not a top 10 pick. But here's, let's assume that because Lawrence is going to go to Jacksonville or he's going to be number 1 overall no matter what. And let's assume Wilson's off the board either, the BYU quarterback. So that leaves Fields, Lance, and Mac Jones available. So my question is, out of these 3 quarterbacks, so let's say we'll do it 1 at a time. Fields, Ohio State quarterback, going in, he's a very mobile guy, tough as nails. We saw that in the college football playoffs. He drops to number 12. Are you making a trade up from 24 to try to get Fields? Brian, you're Colbert. What are you doing?
No.
Okay. Any explanation?
You know what? I'm going to go with an Ohio State bias here with Ohio State quarterbacks have not done a lot and wondering if it's the system. And that's basically what I'm looking at here. I could be wrong.
All right. Dave, do you make the trade up to get him?
Brian took my answer. The answer is no. And for that reason, is that name the last Ohio State quarterback that has done really well in the NFL. Can you? Joe Burrow doesn't count.
Nor has he done anything in the NFL.
True. Or at least that's that we think he's going to
do. Yeah, something. Right. Exactly. No, I can't think of one.
I mean, it could be different. This could be the guy that breaks the mold because you could say it's you know, like the Steelers running the Super Bowl as a 6 seed. It's never happened before until it has. So for that reason, I'm definitely not moving up 12 spots to do it. I don't even know if I'd move up 4 spots to do it.
What if he plummets and he's there at 24? Brian, you making the move? Making the pick?
I don't know. Okay. Just for the same reason, I'm passing on the guy. And that I could be completely wrong for passing on him, but I'm kind of looking at I just don't think that I have him on my big board of guys that I want to sacrifice a number 1 pick for.
And the big board that was behind you last draft.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I spent hours on that. And then I got, I didn't have anybody to help me with it to put the names. Like,
Brian,
up.
What's going on the big board? I don't know. I'm losing my mind over here. All right, Dave, if Fields is there at 24, what are you doing?
I would consider pulling the trigger at 24 if you've, okay. I mean, if you've done your due diligence and think that unless you have the same concerns of that all the other teams did that passed up on them. So I'm not inside there, but if they feel confident in that, I don't, there are certain players I would be okay with them moving up for, but just my gut feeling. And this is, like I said, I dove deep into everything. This could be completely wrong. I just don't feel that this is one that it should be. Although I kind of felt the same way about Lamar Jackson when he was out there. And then look at what he's doing. So,
yeah. All right. I would say that I'm not going to trade up for him, but if he's there at 24 and like you said, they do their diligence, maybe. Let's go to Trey Lance now, North Dakota State. He's at 12, same scenario. Are you trading up to get the North Dakota State product? Young guy, inexperienced, a lot of potential. Brian, what do you think?
I like everything this guy brings to the table. I am trading up for him if I can. It just depends what if it's a Devin Bush type price. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make that move. Now, I don't want anybody to come at me with a when was the last North Dakota State quarterback to do anything? I mean, you could count Carson Wentz in there. But I think he would fit the system and what they're trying to do. And I think he has a lot of raw talent that I like a whole lot more than that of a guy that was originally number two. Like Fields was originally supposed to be the number two pick. And if he's dropping and everybody's passing on him, I'm passing on him too. I don't think people are going to be passing on Trey Lance.
All right, Dave, you trading up for my boy Trey Lance or no?
See, this you have me so screwed up because to me, I said no to Fields because I haven't dove into anything with Fields. I haven't looked at him because I always thought he was going to be one of the guys that's going up there higher. You know what I'm saying? But this one I have looked at, and therefore I would be more likely to say pull the trigger on this one if you think, as long as the Steelers believe he's the guy that's going to be the quarterback in 2025. You know what I mean? That's still going to be the guy to be that guy at that time. I'm okay with that. But like I said, that's only because I've looked into him more than the other ones, because I thought the other ones would be off the table.
I look at Lance, and like I said, there's a multitude of reasons why I would trade up for him. I think he's the most likely to fall, although that could maybe be someone like Fields. I don't know. But he's also inexperienced enough, and with Roethlisberger coming back, he would have a chance to learn and get in the system, and then Matt Canada could really do some crazy stuff, I think, with Trey Lance. Since you both said you would trade, well, Dave, you said you would trade up for him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So since we both traded up, we're not going to go through the other scenario. Evgeny Crosby gives us $4.99. Says, I'm more worried about the Steelers defense and Roethlisberger coming back. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what parts of the defense you're overly concerned with, but I think they're still going to be really good. Now let's do this again with Mac Jones, because he's the guy. It happens every year, and there's going to be other players as well. We all know this. If you follow the NFL draft, there's players that all of a sudden you start to see their stock just slowly climb. You're like, wait, what's going on with this guy? Like, there's a second-round pick. What the heck, Mac Jones? Are you trading up for Mac Jones, Brian?
I would like to invoke my inner Freddie Mercury from Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody when I say, no, 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 no. The guy had all the weapons in the world. He should have not been a Heisman finalist. I do not like Mac Jones. I know he had a good Senior Bowl. He is not first-round talent in my eyes. Everybody can come at me. That's fine. But he's not. Not trading up for this guy. I think he's a second at best, probably a third-round quarterback.
Dave, Mac Jones.
No. Take the words Ohio State from Justin Fields, put in the words Alabama, and I'll say the same thing. It's the same. It's one of those things that when you have a very strong program all around, your quarterbacks are going to look better. Yeah. And who's the last Alabama quarterback that really did a lot in the NFL? I can't always remember because I don't watch college football, if you know what I mean.
The last Alabama quarterback?
Yeah.
A.J. McCarron? No. Joe Namath, maybe?
No, I was going to say, because – no, or is Brian only judging hot girlfriends? Is that what it is?
Dave, this guy has been putting this in there. The Steelers – I'm sorry, wrong one. Steelers fan 1823. Let me find it. He's been saying this over and over again. Dave, to answer your question, the greatest – Ohio State quarterback in the NFL was Mike Tomczak. Here it is.
I didn't even know that Tomczak went to Ohio State.
Best Ohio State quarterback ever. Was Mike. I don't know. So if Mike
might Tomczak, be. I don't know.
If Mike Tomczak is the greatest, then that's all you need to know in regards to Ohio State quarterbacks. Yeah. I watched some this is what I like to do. I like to go onto specific YouTube channels that break down players, and they show a lot of film, and then I'll watch some game film of the player. And I've watched Mac Jones film. I've watched Trey Lance. Kyle Trask is another one from Florida that I watched. He's not considered a first-round pick, but I was curious. Mac Jones is – I don't think there's anything special to me at all about this guy. I mean, he's more of a traditional quarterback. I'm looking for someone with a little bit of mobility, and he doesn't have that. Some people are saying he's the next Tom Brady. I don't know about all that. We'll see, but I'm passing big time on Mac Jones. I'm even passing on him if he's there at 24. Brian, are you doing the same?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want anything to do with him.
Okay. Dave, same?
Yeah, same.
All right, very good.
Maybe if he's there in round two, I'd think about it.
Yeah, you just and that's fine, but you just don't want to do the Artie Burns here. You just don't want to do the JP Lozman like the Bills did because they had to have a quarterback. You just don't want to pick you don't want to pick the position. And that would be picking the position, if you ask me.
Yeah. Okay, let's go into some trivia now. We have some time. I want to be able to take our time with this. Dave, go ahead. Fire some trivia at us.
All right. Well, if you've been following my series on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers.
Great blog.
Every Thursday, I think the first week might have been on a Friday, but around Thursday, I've been looking at a draft class from the Steelers. I started with 2004, and I've been going up each week describe telling you all the players that were in the draft class and how their careers panned out. Well, something was very interesting for the one today, which was the class of 2009. And it was that the Steelers had back-to-back picks in that draft. And I know you guys both knew this because you read my article. So I couldn't ask specifically about that, but then I got to thinking, is this something that happens a lot with the Steelers? So I went all the way back year by year, myself, just looking it up, all the way back to 1970, the merger. Since the merger, how many times do you think the Steelers have had back-to-back picks in the NFL draft? You know it's at least one.
I'm going to say just once.
I'm going to say – actually, I know it's been more than that. I can't tell you who. I'm going to say three.
Okay. It's so funny because every time I hear this number, I think of the episode of Friends when she just at the end just puts up seven. It's seven times. Seven times they've had back-to-back picks. Here's what's even crazier. There was one season they had back-to-back picks two times in the same draft.
Wow.
Which just so happens to be the first draft that was ever televised. Do you know what year that was?
I'm going to say 1980.
And you would be correct, Brian Anthony Davis. It was 1980. And it's what's crazy. With both of these picks, they had the last pick of one round and the first pick of the next round. Of course, they had the last pick because they had won the Super Bowl in 79. But in rounds 9 and 10, they had picked 249 and 250. And then in rounds 11 and 12, they had 305 and 306. But I'm going to ask one last question about this. The highest they have ever drafted with back-to-back picks was they had back-to-back picks in the third round, picks number 73 and 74. Any idea what year or who maybe one of the players would have been there if you can remember your draft? Because this one is, I'll just say this, it's since the 80s.
Well, are we talking about 2009? With Mike Wallace and Craig Urbick?
No, that wasn't who was back to back in 2009. They had back to back.
Oh, Joe Burnett.
Picks in round five is when they had their back to back picks.
Okay.
What if I gave you a hint that one of the players even became a coach for the Steelers?
And you said since when?
It's been since the 80s.
Since the 80s.
Yeah. Carnell Lake. Darren Perry.
Actually, that's a pretty good answer. That's a really good answer. 89.
It would actually be 1999 in round three, pick 73, 74. Pick 74 was. Pick 73 was Joey Porter. And then
Amos Saraway.
No, it was like Chris Ferris, I think it was a tackle.
He from Wisconsin.
Yes, they were back-to-back picks. Highest back-to-back picks they've ever had. Pick 73 and 74 in 1999.
Yep. One out of two.
Yeah. So, but yeah, just so you know, the years were 2009, 2001, 99, 85, twice in 1980, and they had back-to-back picks in that historic 1974 draft in the sixth round. So after they picked Mike Webster, they had back-to-back picks in the sixth round.
And we don't know their names because
we don't. I didn't even care enough to write them down.
All right. Is that it, Dave?
Yeah.
All right, Brian, you said you had trivia, right?
Yes. Okay. So, you know, I love middle names and you know that because look at my screen here. And we talk about one of the major parts of the show tonight was talking about one Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger. So I was looking at other Steeler picks in the modern era of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I go from 1969 all the way up. So that's how I do the modern era of the Steelers. And I have some very, very interesting middle names here. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the middle names. And you tell me which quarterback, and they were starting quarterbacks. You tell me which quarterback had this particular middle name. I'm only going to give you four, so we won't go forever on this.
Okay.
Kennedy. Who had a presidential middle name? Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Bubby Brister.
Actually, it's not. He actually does have a presidential middle name. But no, it's not Bubby Brister.
Let's go Neil O'Donnell.
That's what I was going to say next.
It is Neil O'Donnell. Neil Kennedy O'Donnell.
That a-hole.
So let's talk Bubby Brister.
I was going to say, you might ask some of these that I might know because I've looked some of these up before.
You know Bubby Brister's first name?
No.
It's not Bubby, Jeff.
Clearly, it's not Bubby.
Oh, come on, man.
It's Walter.
Ah, okay.
What was Walter Brister's middle name?
Eisenhower.
It is Walter Andrew Carter. Brister. Oh, Andrew. He has probably the most common middle name of anybody with Andrew. And with a name like Walter and Bubby, you wouldn't think that.
Could have swore it was Eisenhower, but go ahead.
Whose middle name was Paxton?
I know that one. Jeff, you can guess, but I know that one.
I don't know, Mason Rudolph.
No, it's TB12.
Terry Paxton Bradshaw.
Oh, Paxton.
Yep.
And here's my favorite.
And honestly, the only reason I knew that is because I just saw it somewhere whenever the Steelers had Paxton Lynch.
Eisenhower is funny.
I just saw it as a random thing.
I'm here for comedic relief, not for my intelligence. We'll put it that way.
The final one, it's a blockbuster, my friends. Alfred. Whose middle name is Alfred?
Alfred.
Let's see. Let's go through it. Terry Bradshaw, we already had. It's not Mark Malone because I think he was an M. Because I think he was
Mike Tomczak.
He's just M, yes.
No, Tommy Maddox.
Tommy Alfred Maddox.
Yes! Nice! Nice.
So from this point forward, he is no longer number 8 Tommy Gunn. He is Tommy Alfred Maddox when we speak of him.
Well, no, you have to call him Thomas. Thomas Alfred.
Thomas there Alfred.
Let's make it sound prim and proper.
Was he a Thomas or was he just a Tommy?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't even know Bubby's real name.
Well, all right. Should. I'm disappointed.
Well, I'm not. So, okay, let's let's do some final thoughts here. Brian, go ahead. You have the floor.
You know what? Ben Roethlisberger is back with the Pittsburgh Steelers next year, presumably. We know that. Does it give them the best chance to win? We talked about that earlier. Yeah. Look at getting him weapons. Look at moving some stuff around. Look under the couch cushions. Don't be all negative about this period. This is going to be a wild, woolly, really fun period. And we've got a lot to look forward to. There's not a lot of what ifs. If this guy can take the baton, you know, you have a guy that's been there. He's bought the t-shirt and he could win another t-shirt. And you quite possibly could be buying the t-shirt as well that says Super Bowl 56 champions.
All right, Dave, final thoughts.
When it comes to the Steelers, saying that they're moving towards a return for Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger, it tells me that we as fans look back and see how things are, and we try to interpret what we see, only knowing maybe 60% of what's actually happening. Perfect example of you can look at statistics and things going on. Like you can say, oh, well, that was a bad throw by the quarterback. What did the quarterback overthrow the receiver? Did the receiver run the wrong route? One of them made a bad read. Who was it? We don't always have that because we don't have the call in the huddle, and the Steelers do. With the fact that the Steelers so quickly moved on from Randy Feigner, but yet they're saying they want to bring back Ben Roethlisberger, that might not pass our eye test. But still remember, we don't have all the information of what was going on. Maybe there was more than meets the eye. Maybe there wasn't. But if the Steelers are making this decision, I'm going to say they have more of the information than I do. So therefore, they do not feel that the problems down the stretch had to do with Roethlisberger as much, or else I think they would have maybe said it is time to go on. So remember, we are fans. We don't have the calls in the huddle. We're not in the team meetings. We don't know if there's, you know, conflict or if everything sunshines and rainbows. We just don't always know. We try to do our best to figure things out from what we can see. But when it really comes down to it, the people that have all the information are the ones that are making the decisions.
Very well said. My final thoughts are really just a request, and this is selfish kind of, but it's also for the brand. And if you listen to my Let's Ride podcast, so I'm going to do something Saturday that I haven't done yet. SB Nation is partnering with the app called Locker Room. This is only for iOS people. That drove me nuts. I didn't know that off the bat, but it's not for Android yet. If you have an iPhone, if you go get the free app Locker Room, and then find me on there at jhartman_PIT. It's the same as my Twitter handle. Follow me on Saturday. I'm going to test run this thing, and I'm going to do a locker room where you can actually join me and talk with me. So it's like a call-in show. So all these people on YouTube or even on Facebook that see it and like, oh, I'd love to actually have a question where I could talk with him or them. This is your opportunity. So I'm going to put an article out on the website. It's probably going to be Saturday around 7 p.m. Eastern time in the United States, because I know we have a global audience. If you're interested, all you have to do is find the app, see the article. I'll tweet it out as well. Join me. I'd love to see some of the YouTubers out there. That would be awesome to be able to talk with you all for the first time. It would be really cool. So check that out. That's it. Just going to throw that out there. Sorry, Shield. No Android. Not yet anyways. So I was bummed about that as well. So check that out. Locker Room app, free app, download it, follow me, and you'll see me on Saturday. Otherwise, guys, great show. Dave, send us out as you always do.
Hey.
Best way to go. All right, we'll see y'all next week for another Steelers preview. Take it.